Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Comeuppance Reviews podcast. This is Brett speaking.
Hey, it's the time, man. We are back.
We sure are. And in the tradition of some past episodes that we've done, we thought we'd continue that. So, in other words, hangout episode with our friend Ian, where we just kind of talked about things in sort of a free form type of fashion. Then we did that again with Connoisseur, our longtime collaborator and friend. So we thought, well, maybe we could do one of those ourselves. So it's a hangout part three with just us.
No justice, just us. So.
Well, that's what they said about Mike Justice and Street Corner Justice.
And upcoming watch for us called American Justice, starring Tiny Lister as Jack Justice.
So right. So he's Jack Justice, and the other one was Mike Justice.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's just us.
Yeah, just us. Yeah, exactly. We're going to take back the night. I think they say it a lot when you connect that to no justice, no peace. So it's like.
Yeah, but in this case, I don't want there to be no justice. I want Mike and Jack Justice to be in our lives.
The Justice Bros. That'd be really cool. But it's like.
Oh, it'll be like a third movie where they team up.
Wait, I think Tiny Lister is in Street Corner Justice, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that a spinoff?
Well, I think Mike Justice is just Mike Justice. Tiny Lister might be just like a kind of a, I'm not sure who his character. I think he's in that movie. You know, Clint Howard and Bryan Cranston at his absolute best.
Yes. Like,
no one asked him about that. Bad or something. Yeah, they got close once on IMDb. He's like, your first role is in this weird, you know, infomercial, Brian. But they don't ever ask about Street Corner Justice.
Or what's that other movie that's on the website?
Strategic Command.
Yeah, Strategic Command. Then someone should ask him about that.
Why not? It's right there. And just like, it's funny. Because if you look up Strategic Command on IMDb, and he's like, oh, Michael Dudikoff, Richard Norton. You have to go all the way down to see Cranston. He's not even on credit.
Well, they do that sometimes. Where like they'll have a big star, but they're like way, way, way down the list. I don't know why they do that.
Because I think he must have been on the skids. Well, he was, clearly. If he's doing these kind of silly movies, he must just need some a job quickly. You know.
Well, at that time, he was just, you know, he was a jobbing actor, like a lot of others. So, you know, if you just keep at it, I guess eventually you can become a Breaking Bad, which is obviously what he was.
He became a Breaking Bad. Yeah. He became...
Yeah.
You gotta love that. I don't think they can make Breaking Bad today. I don't know.
That wasn't even that long ago. What do you mean? Why can't they make it today?
People don't have patience anymore because Breaking Bad is not on TikTok. So it's like, so we're going to have TikTok TV. I'm surprised they haven't had that yet. There's something about TikTok.
Like? Yeah.
TikTok TV, oh, it'd be like 5 seconds. It's like, hey guys. And that's the first episode. It's like 5 seconds. Remember Vine? That was popular. So, do you remember
that? Where's Vine today? It was like some sort of video site, but your videos can only be like 5 seconds or something.
Yeah, I never understood. How can people make movies like that in 5 seconds? I need to like start. I don't get it. It must be a lot of jump cuts or something. I think it probably needed editing. I don't really know much about Vine. You know, if we're going to go back in time, I guess we are.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Vine. Let's go back to Gangnam Style. Let's go back to Harlem Shake. Remember all these like dances you used to have?
Well, isn't that what TikTok mostly is? Like, you know, I don't have TikTok, but isn't it mostly like at least 80% people dancing? That's what I thought it was.
Well, here's the thing. Here, I think Anthony Hopkins is on TikTok, and he's dancing. He's like,
well,
what's that forget about? Like, I'm dancing. It's like, I think he went a bit nuts during a certain time frame in 2020, and he's like, I nominate Sylvester Stallone to do my TikTok dances.
That's something he said?
Yes, he said, because he was supposed to like not remember like the Ice Bucket Challenge. People were like, I nominate Dan and Jeff to do the Ice Bucket Challenge. Okay. You remember that one? People dump ice on you for charity?
Yes, I do remember that. And is that like the Cinnamon Challenge or the kids eating Tide Pods or something?
That one's a bit more classy, the ice bucket challenge. That one, oh. I don't want, you know, Dolph Lundgren is eating cinnamon. That's not a good idea. So it's like, I don't think Trump did that, the cinnamon challenge, did he?
Why did Trump do the ice bucket challenge?
He did, yeah. I did the ice bucket challenge for charity. Okay. Now I nominate Dolph Lundgren and Sylvester Stallone.
I will do the ice bucket challenge.
So that's probably a real thing, you know, because don't forget that Trump's buddies are still on for the contender.
Right, right. Because, yeah, the contender is connected to the apprentice. Right?
Yeah, because people have to have the something. You have to be the person. It's like the benefactor, you know, Mark Cuban food.
Mark Cuban.
Yeah. So it's like, that never got anywhere, huh? Well, see, I guess we liked rich guys firing people for a while. You know, we got Trump.
Then we had the benefactor, and then, but that kind of spun off into Shark Tank, which is basically rich people basically firing people. I mean, it's, you know, it's a tempered version, but it's kind of the same principle.
What's the other guy's name? The British guy, he has Virgin Airlines.
Oh, Richard Branson.
I think he had a show. I think it was like the Branson, you know, the Branson experiment or something.
I'm like, sure he did. Yeah. It's like, well, these are the richest people we can find. Let's just give them a show. We'll see what happens.
I guess Elon never had a show.
Well, not yet. You know, it's never too late for Elon.
He's an interesting character. It's like, the internet is very good. It's a good internet in Gaza. Very good internet. It's like, he talks in this weird way. You ever hear him talk?
Like, well, isn't he from some other country that isn't America?
He's from, like, from Africa, you know. Now, people forget that Charlize Theron's from, like, South Africa.
Wait, really? Speaking of Africa, maybe we should mention a movie we watched called China Salesman.
Yes, there is. Like, oh. And Mike Tyson, am I allowed to do an impression of him?
What do you mean allowed? Why wouldn't you be allowed?
I do what I want. I can't even do Mike Tyson. Like, China Salesman, I can't really do it.
Normally people do that high-pitched version.
A China Salesman. Yeah, I'm trying to do, like, lisp. You know, but go ahead, talk about China Salesman.
It's a very... I don't know. It's also called Deadly Contract. Did you know that?
No. That's almost entirely seen in a Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah. I think it's all because it's a strange movie because it's, I mean, the plot revolves around, like, it's basically a corporate intrigue of trying to put 3G phone service in an African country. But then just the fact that there's like a Chinese corporation trying to do it and European corporation trying to do it, but it causes like all this war and fighting to break out. And
some mayhem.
And in the midst of all that, Mike Tyson and Steven Seagal have some sort of a fight. And Tyson is like an African warlord. And
he puts like Kaba. His name is Kaba.
Yeah, his name's Kaba.
Yeah,
which I think he said, not to be confused with Kazaa or LimeWire or one of those file sharing sites.
Did you use LimeWire or Kabah or Kazaa?
I think I used Napster. I don't think I used those other ones.
You never went past Napster? Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think by that time I wasn't interested.
Okay. I kind of remember just using Napster also. I think Kazaa, you know. Kazaa. So let's go back to Kabah.
So everyone in the movie has a thick accent. Some of it's subtitled, some of it isn't, some of it's dubbed, some of it isn't.
Yeah.
If they took out the fighting and war, it would just be like a movie about 3G phone service.
Just, 3G.
It's very strange. It's almost 2 full hours, but it's also from, which is funny because I said while we were watching, wow, this is a lot like Diamond Cartel, not knowing at all that it's made by the same people. Entertainment. So it just had... It's like, wait, this kind of is like Diamond Cartel. Then there's a trailer for Diamond Cartel on the disc, on the Blu-ray. So it's like, wait, this is kind of similar.
Yeah, because maybe it was shot in Kazakhstan, just like Diamond Cartel was.
Probably.
Remember that movie? It was such a weird movie, because besides Peter O'Toole's Tugboat, mm-hmm. which, let's not forget how funny that was, and when he... Mr. Tugboat spoke. He sounded very interesting.
And he's in it for probably less than a minute.
Yeah, less than a minute. And no spoiler, but not. I guess it's half spoiler. He dies in quotes. It's very ridiculous.
But he's only on screen for a couple seconds, really.
Like, look, it's Peter O'Toole. Larry of Arabia himself, you know.
Yeah, yep, Larry of Arabia is there, and so it's China Salesman. I mean, what's good about it? I mean, there's a lot of good things about it, really. Yeah. But you know, Steven Seagal is not annoying in it, so that's a plus right there.
I play Marauder. Yeah, it's like, or Mauder?
Yeah, something like that. And he does wear like these Hawaiian type shirts, so that's good.
Oh, full Hawaiian shirt. He went full Madsen in this movie.
Which Madsen's also in Diamond Cartel, so maybe it's the same shirt.
You gotta borrow my shirt, Steve.
I don't want to borrow your shirt. I don't know. I don't know why it's so high pitched, but
own shirt.
but that does kind of spin off to a show you were watching with Steven Seagal.
So before we talk about True Justice, a classic program for the ages, anything else you want to say about China Salesman?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know if that got across how strange of a movie it is.
Well, it's a strange movie. People need to watch it. Yes, there's some Chinese propaganda stuff in it. But
well, that's what's so funny about it. Yeah. Yeah. It even says at the end, if you watch the credits, like produced by the Chinese propaganda team or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is like blatant propaganda, which is what makes it all the funnier.
It's everyone will know that part. So it's just,
there's a great part. It's about through the middle of the movie, but
yeah,
it's you know, there's I don't know. It's not really describable. You just have to see it.
You have to see it to believe it. We almost couldn't believe it, and we were all cracking up. I almost fell off the couch.
Yeah, there is a great moment about midway through the movie, and but as I said, it's kind of like The Simpsons. You know how like on The Simpsons, fights break out at the drop of a hat. You know, Bart and Lisa are like at the hockey rink, and everyone in the stands are like fighting, and just kind of like that. It's like they're trying to put in the 3G phone service, and then war breaks out, and they're driving a tank, and then Mike Tyson's in everywhere. A tank, and,
yeah, Mike Tyson's in a tank going
fire.
Yeah, fire. Yours is funnier. Fire. I'm Kabah.
And so, yeah, and then it centers around a Chinese man. And then there's like, you're a China salesman, which they actually say in the movie. Not a Chinese salesman, you're a China salesman.
It's like, what's your name? China salesman.
And so we, you know, kind of venture to guess that his name in the movie, which I don't remember, translates to China salesman, which maybe it does. and then he gets into a lot of pitfalls. I guess the movie is referring to him. Steve and Mike are kind of like circling his orbit, but it's all very strange.
I think he could use what a great line by Steven Seagal. It's like, please speak English.
Oh, yes, I guess speak English. Yeah, it's like, first off, pot kettle black much. You don't speak very good English, sir.
That's so funny. He actually is really aggressive about it, dude. Can you please speak English?
It's like, you're in a foreign country. Maybe that's a bit of an unfair request.
It's like someone came to our country. Can you please speak Chinese or Japanese?
Yeah, it's like, wait, well, not yet, but. Anyway, I definitely think it's worth seeing. Yeah, if you could find it. Oh, that does relate back to TikTok, actually, because TikTok is a Chinese company. And our military is not allowed to use it because China can use it to spy on us.
That's a real thing. It's not being political. It's a real thing. So it's just like, you know. Well, a certain person is on TikTok. Some president is on TikTok now. It's like, wait a second. Are you supposed to be on that, sir?
I guess if you're an ex-president, I suppose you could be on it.
No, our current prez right now is on TikTok right now.
Oh, like, him.
Yeah, him, yes. It's like the president we have now is on TikTok, and he was talking about yogurt or something.
Of course he was. What else would he be talking about?
But Trump isn't on TikTok. Like, I'm not
no,
TikTok.
Of course he isn't. I'm not on there. I'm on Truth Talk. It's my own version.
Hey, that's funny. Truth Talk. I'm on Truth Talk.
Like, I guess Tick Truth doesn't work as well. I guess
That's also kind of funny. Tick Truth. Well, that sounds like if you have a tick on you, it's like, that's the truth.
Like, that sounds like one of those, like, be like a PSA thing you'd see in the 90s, you know, instead of like drugged up bugs. Like, you have to check your body for ticks. It's a tick truth or whatever.
It's a tick truth. Let's have a tick truth. Let's rap about it. Put a chair sideways or upside down.
Yeah, turn your chair around just so you rap with the young people about ticks. Well, I mean, Lyme disease did originate in our great home state of Connecticut and Lyme, old Lyme, I think.
But see, that's not good. You don't want to be named after something, unless it's something cool, like a star or something. Like, you want to have like your own kind of star in the galaxy. It's like,
no.
I don't know. The stars aren't real anyway. So it's like
they all have names. What am I supposed to do? Take Alpha Centauri? Get rid of that name. Change it to Brett Centauri. It just doesn't make sense. Everything it already has a name.
Little Dipper. Come on. There's already Big Dipper. What's that?
Well, you said you want to change the name and name it after you. So it's like, you want to change it to Tide Dipper?
No, that sounds weird anyway. Tide Dipper.
Well, exactly. Like that's my point. It sounds weird.
Yeah. I mean, like, it could be, instead of Ty Cobb, it could be the Ty Cobb salad. You know, just like, so
that. I noticed not a lot of restaurants have that these days.
What, a Cobb salad or Ty Cobb
salad? No, the Ty Cobb salad. There might be. It
might be racist.
Nah, it's a racist salad? How dare you?
See, there's no black lettuce. That's not good.
But just like, it wouldn't be anyway.
I know, that's not, because it's wilted. What's that place? We won't say the place.
I don't remember the name of the place, but we looked it up. It was like a Mexican restaurant, and we looked up the, what was it, Yelp reviews? And
Yeah, we get like 2 Yelp reviews, and you have to go on the app.
And someone said it had a wilted lettuce, which, you know, it's just a Yelp user. It doesn't, you know, it's not
that's very descriptive.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, that's too descriptive. It's like, okay, wilted? You know, see, that's like one of these like fancy words you could say. It's like, okay, I'm done.
Because of that one, basically because of that one word, we never went to this restaurant.
It shows how powerful the English language is. You know,
it's like, well, that's what Steven Seagal wants you to speak it, obviously.
Yeah. I don't like my wilted lettuce. I don't eat much salad, but, you know, I don't want my lettuce wilted.
Well, did he mention wilted lettuce in what's the show called? True Justice.
True Justice. So it's not everyone asked me about True Justice because this is not Steven Seagal Lawman. This is True Justice, a scripted program for Steven Seagal as Elijah Kane. He has a team of cool members who take down criminals. I have to say it was pretty entertaining. You get 26 great episodes on Tubi or other streaming services, but definitely on Tubi. I gotta say, it wasn't that bad.
And it was originally on Reels. Is that?
It was in the Reels channel. People remember that one. And I remember the ads like that because I got Steven Seagal to be in the promo. It's like, God, watch True Justice. A bullet may bounce off. Something like that. He had some like weird kind of zet lines in the promos. Take a look at that too.
Does the Reels channel?
It's gonna hurt you very bad. It's just like, that's not in the show, that's in the promo. Like, he comes out of steam. It's like Steven Seagal, True Justice, starting March 9th on Reels.
Is the Reels channel still around?
I think it is, but you know, this is deep cable, as I call it, so it's like in the high hundreds, I think. I'm not sure we have it anymore.
Don't they did like these celebrity tell-all type things. It's like the real story of Jane Mansfield.
They do that, and it's like kind of like filler for your channel. It's like,
or like, I guess not a lot of people are watching Reels. That at least could have been on a show in the, instead of the high hundreds, maybe the low hundreds. Like, maybe it could have been on WGN America or something.
Because it's like, you know, you have to really like love like old Hollywood like feels like, oh, I really love those Jane Mansfield and these Marilyn Monroes and like you know, Jane Russell stories, you know. It's like I guess people do care about old Hollywood.
Sure, they do, but the problem is I think the older, you know, older watchers might not know how to find the Reels channel.
Yes, easily. If older watchers stick to like the top, you know, let's say even 25 channels, and that's it, you know.
Well, that's your theory about CBS though, right?
Yeah, because CBS has 2 channels, 2 and 3. So if you change to 3 by accident, we change CBS by accident, it's still on 3. You know.
So this is an older couple, you're saying. Oh, hey, hon.
Yeah, it's older. Get you back. Okay. Yeah, okay, hon. Yeah. Well, Blue Bloods has been falling off lately, but supposedly it's not good. They say it's the final season of B Bloods. or peas, as I like to call it, because all I do is eat peas at the dinner table. So, but rumor has that Tom Stock's going to talk to CBS towards the end of the season, and they might be able to, you know, make another, maybe like one or two more seasons, because Tom Stock, he doesn't want to find another job. That's what he said. So I get it. It's easy work.
Well, yeah, he sits at a table eating peas and sighing all the time. I mean, I get why you want to keep doing that.
It's so easy. He says, it's like, I think that's just part of this character, I hope. Or he's just, I hear he does have back pain and then sciatica or something. He has something, some pain. Because he's older. It's like, I think he's in his 80s.
Well, you know, well, you watch the first couple of seasons of Magnum. He doesn't sigh in that, does he?
No, he's jumping around in the ocean. He's wearing his short shorts. It's fun.
I'll have to watch that at some point.
I only have the first two seasons, which they're fun. They're enjoyable.
Well, that's all I want from my.
I mean, I know people make fun of Higgins. I know I'm kind of pro Higgins. I know that's a controversial statement, but it's like I do get it. He does get it a little annoying because he always wants Magnum to go to his like special like fancy parties, and Magnum, I'm not doing that. I'm just cruising in my car with babes, you know.
I'll have to watch it and make my own opinion.
And Higgins goes, oh, he sighs. He's like, oh, Magnum, okay, still cruising with babes.
Oh, Magnum, come on. Does he honestly think he could control him and have him be more like Higgins?
Magnum, what a name. I guess it could be named after a gun. It's like, the name was Brett Wesson. That's pretty cool.
Right. Because the gun wasn't named after the people. The people were named after the gun. Yeah, that's it.
Talk about the way of the gun.
But I understand you found a certain movie, a Goodwill.
Yes, I did. Also, one more thing about, I know you mentioned Way of the Gun, which I think is, I know you don't like that movie that much, but.
Well, it's all right. I didn't dislike it. I just don't think I would loved it as much as you.
I think I somehow have there's a special place in my heart for Way of the Gun for some reason, because I thought that was like the coolest title ever. And then you have those awesome gunfights, and you have James Caan with a little cold in there for James Caan. Just see a little bit too much James Caan. But if you remember that, well, you see his nipples in like a lot of scenes. I guess they were cold, and when they're shooting these scenes, so it's like a weird thing. But you'll notice it immediately if you watch it again. And what was it say about? Oh, you want to talk about Ad Astra? I found that at Goodwill. So,
and you watched it, and it's on 4K. So you said, oh, no, the 4Ks are coming to Goodwill now.
That's true. I got it for, I think, a couple dollars. It's not a good movie. People think it's good. It's not.
Maybe that's why it ended up at Goodwill. Maybe someone watched it and thought, nah, I don't want this.
Because, see, I now have a 4K player because I was kind of forced to get one to watch the Hellraiser box set. So it's like, all right, I have 4K now. It's like, Ad Astra? Sure, I'll watch that. So people remember. People have seen this. It's Brad Pitt. He's in space. And he's looking for his dad, played by Tom Lee Jones. I don't call him Tommy.
By Tom. So he's looking for Tom. He's
looking for Tom. And then, if you look up this movie on IMDb, there were a lot of reshoots because I think Fox said it was boring and needs to have more in it. They're not kidding about that. And so what happened is they put a space baboon in the movie. And car chases on dune buggies on the moon. So let's talk space baboon.
Well, see, this goes back to an old Hollywood adage, which is, if your movie is boring, you need to do reshoots. When your movie is boring, you need to do reshoots. Get a space baboon. That'll solve all your problems. They've been saying that in Hollywood since the 20s.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. You know. It's in every movie, but sometimes you get a space baboon, sometimes you don't. Well, in this movie,
well, it's kind of like an almond joy or a mound. You know, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you feel like a space baboon or not.
Well, I can just imagine like a Hollywood executive, which who probably don't look like this anymore, but they're probably young people. But it's probably like an older, you know, overweight gentleman. You know, he's sweating, he's holding a cigar, and he's like, "This movie's boring. You know what this movie needs?" Like, what, sir? Yeah. Space baboon. Get one. You know, he's like puffing on a cigar, and he has good gold chains. Like, that's kind of what I'm imagining.
Yes, here. That's exactly what I was picturing. And it's funny because if you look up the movie Wild Wild West, you know, of Will Smith.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's an evil spider. There's like a mechanical giant spider in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And because so same thinking is that like
I'm same thinking. But it's I've seen Wild Wild West. It's not like an actual spider. It's like it's a mechanical robot spider run by Kenneth Branagh.
As it would be, but isn't Tom in that one too?
Tommy Jones? No, that's Men in Black. This is Will Smith and Kevin Kline.
Oh,
and I guess people don't remember, and it has that great song, you know, Wild Wild West.
and we'll dress it up with all their great songs that they want. But what was that a movie? Was that like a big hit or was that a flop? I don't remember.
Technically, it was kind of a flop because it's just not. I've seen the movie. It's not. It's very messy. You don't really. It's like. If Silverado, Kevin Kline was stupid. So just picture that.
So well, I've never seen Silverado, so I can't picture it.
Oh, really? It's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, never seen
it. You've seen Silverado?
Nope, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to watch.
Is that really unusual?
I thought you'd seen that. You know, it's a classic, fun, good Western. You care. Well, maybe a little long, but you still care. And has a nice role for John Cleese. He's in one or two scenes, but he's cool in it.
Well, I'll have to see it someday because I do you have a copy of it.
Oh, well, you do have a copy, you said?
No. Do you have a copy of it?
I sure do have a copy. So I got it on this double feature set of the Magnificent Seven remake.
Oh, with, I don't think I've seen that either. Maybe I should.
It's in my collection. I can let you borrow it today if you want.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to watch both of those, but I don't know that you have to. That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, I'll put it in your pile.
Okay, put it in my pile. Perfect. Put it in my pile.
Yeah. But remember back in the 90s, you used to, you know, have a song for your movie. And it's usually Will Smith or LL Cool J. And usually rap your plot, you know.
Well, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky, you got Deep Blue Sea, Deepest Blue as My Head is Like a Shark Fin, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have any cool songs today. Like, what's playing, like, right now? Like, Dune? It's like, there's no rap song for Dune. It's like,
what would that even be? Like LL Cool J saying, you know, my head is like a dune?
Sandworm?
I don't know. My head is like a sandworm? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Deepest blue, the head is like a sandworm.
Well, but it wouldn't be deepest bluest. Well, that would be funny, but it would be like.
Desert bluest?
No, it would have to be like. What's color is sand?
Like white sand or maybe like a tan sand.
Tannest. My head is this is why I'm not a rapper because I can't come up with this great
stuff. Tannest. My head is like a sandworm.
Yeah, there you go.
Gotta get the spice. It'll be like mice. It's like that would be the Dune song.
Yeah, they could get Spice One. Isn't he a rapper?
Or Spice Girls.
Oh, Spice Girls, yeah. Or Salt and Pepper.
It's right there. we're having a Salt and Pepper. Or Pepper.
They're around because I saw a billboard that they're like, it's some sort of quote-unquote 90s type show. Like it has New Kids on the Block and some other people. And I think Salt and Pepper is involved. I think they're touring.
Good. You always gotta be touring, you know.
Well, that's the reason why everyone's on tour because people don't buy records like they used to, you know. So in order for these artists to keep going, they have to perform live, you know.
That's true.
Because you know, look back in the old days, if assuming you weren't listening to it on the radio, if you wanted to own music, you just had to buy the record and that's it. You had no other choices. I mean, now I guess you do, and people aren't. I mean, yes, there's diehard record people. I guess that includes people like me, but the vast majority of the public aren't like that. And so these artists have to keep touring if they want to make any money, because no one's buying.
That's it. Plus, you know, like always be closing. GBT, gotta be touring.
Yeah, and even if you want to or not, you know, that's why people
are touring. Let's say you stream the song, let's say Push It by Salt and Pepper. They don't get very much money from it, right? You get like not even like 5 cents.
Yeah, or if it's on YouTube, do they get any money from that? I don't even know.
That's a great question because, you know, Salt and Pepper aren't YouTubers. They're just artists.
Yeah, but it, like the videos, like music videos from any artist that are on YouTube.
I think,
you know,
Vivo gets all the money.
Right, yeah, Vivo steals all the money. And because, you know, like you could be like a professional YouTuber in the sense that you have ads and you could be a YouTuber. So,
you could be.
Does that still apply to your music videos if you made them in like the 80s, 90s? 2000s. I have no idea how this money works.
And that's why it's funny because like every artist you can think of is probably on tour. So it's like
that's why. I think that's the reasoning why.
That's amazing in a way. So you can almost see anybody on tour, which is actually kind of cool. So if you want to go see Lighthouse on a tour, you know, they're hanging by a moment.
Yeah, they sure are.
They're hanging by a moment tour. It's like
their moment has been lasting a long time.
I guess the moment hasn't passed.
No, it never will. For diehard Lifehouser.
Are you a diehard? You're a Lifehouse fan for life?
I know almost nothing about them, and I can't say I was ever a fan, no.
I mean, it's one of those bands from like the late 90s, 2000s that you kind of hear on the radio for a second, and then you switch the channel. So it's like, I'm not bashing Lifehouse. I think they're okay. It's just like,
I think they're also one of those bands that you might say are, in quotes, secretly Christian.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
So I think they weren't sold as Christian rock, but then I think if you buy the album, you look at the lyrics, like there's a lot of stuff about Jesus and everything, which again, not a problem, fine. No issues. Not but you know, it's funny they weren't marketed that way, you know, and that happens every now and again where they're kind of like Sixpence None the Richer or sometimes or the Supertones. Sometimes a band will come along that they're not put in that DCM quote unquote. Category. They're trying to go more mainstream, and then people don't know that, and then they find it out later.
Well, it's like, well, see, Creed took up all the Christian oxygen.
Right. Like,
so, you know, of course, if you watch Scream 3, which I have a memory of that, seeing that in the theater, you know, it's blasting What If, you know, well, this.
I don't know any Creed songs, except for My Sacrifice.
Yeah. I was like, what if? I think Liev Schreiber's listening to it or something on his radio. we all love Cotton Weary. You know?
Yes. It's a great name. Well, last night I just watched Scream 6. So.
Oh, really? What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I like all the Scream movies. I'm a fan of the series. I thought it was good. I think they're all good. I mean, maybe that's very uncritical, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. It's funny, at the end of that song, or at the end of that movie, there's a song. It's like, wow, I really like this song. It's called Stay Alive, I think.
Oh, by Demi Lovato.
By Demi Lovato. It's like, wait, I like Demi Lovato? Okay. You know what I mean? I don't care anymore. It's like, wait, I actually thought that song was like pretty good.
It was actually really catchy. It's like, and I love the Dermot Mulroney bits at the end, which I won't say, but that his exposition was fantastic.
Yes, and just the fact that he was there, I thought you would like. You like, even without, it's like, oh, Dermot Mulroney, you love Dermot.
I love, and then that massive bit of exposition. I was like, I love this movie. That's what I was saying. I was watching it. I love it.
That's why you like part 6 so much more than part 5. Okay, now I see.
Yeah. I didn't expect him to do that massive bit of exposition. I was like dancing around the room. This is great.
Because if you think about, like, every Scream movie has this, where it's like the last section is like really kind of long and extended, like the final kind of battle. But I did like how they brought back Kirby, Hayden Panettiere. Yeah. I thought that was good from part 4, I think.
I'm happy that, you did. Yeah, she was good. I got to say, this was pretty good, you know. That Demi Lovato song, it's pretty catchy.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I've heard it a couple of times.
I surprised myself because, you know, maybe in the old days, it's Demi Lovato. But no, I thought it's a really good song.
I like that you're admitting that. That's good. I'm happy you enjoyed it also. You know what? Most Scream movies, maybe with the exception of 3, because that was meddled with, have been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so
Because I was watching, I was like, I know Ty really liked part six like a lot better than part five. I'm trying to figure out why, because they seem like kind of equivalent to me. But then, yeah, the Dermot Mulroney thing explains it.
Well, once the Courtney Cox fight happened, and the movie ramped up to the hilt. I mean, like, wow, it moved.
Right, and that's pretty good for a movie that's over 2 hours.
I mean, I blinked, it was over. Like, and then I was like, I danced.
Yeah, it was one of those movies that you don't feel the running time at all. It just kind of speeds by.
No, and then once that happened, they put the pedal to the metal. It was like, whoa. So, like, I need to buy a copy.
Yeah, no, so it's good. Winner.
Why not? I have all the other ones.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you have those?
I think I just didn't really think about it. I will buy them very soon.
I don't know if you finished talking about Ad Astra.
I was going to mention, let's go back.
Space Baboon, which is understandable, you know. But.
Okay, so what happens to Space Baboon, which I'm calling the movie now, they trick you. Because I know, I love this movie. The director was a James Gray. It's like, I don't want to do Space Baboon. I don't want to do moon, space, doing buggy cheats on the moon. I'll make it a dream from Brad Pitt so you can get away with it. Because he knows it's stupid. So that was a nice, it's a pretty good dodge on the Space Baboon and the dune buggies. But the whole movie is boring. So Brad Pitt looks for Tommy Lee Jones and that's it. Because space is boring. Would you agree?
There's nothing up there. Yes, there's nothing up there. What is the moon? The moon's a big stupid rock. What's going on up there? Nothing. How do you make a movie? It seems like every couple of years they make a movie like Moon or Arrival, or there's all these space things and they're all boring. Even though I've never seen any of them, but they look boring.
That's the thing, the moon landing, all I'm going to say about that is this is, check when 2001 Space Odyssey came out and check when the moon landing dropped by. That's all I'm going to say. But besides that, there's a new space movie. I think we saw a trailer for it. We saw the Beekeeper, which is the USSR, it's called. There's also a movie called Life.
Right, which our buddy Ryan saw, and he said it was no good.
Oh, Rye Guy saw a Reynolds movie?
I guess he did, because he told me. He's like, I saw this movie called Life. And then immediately I said, with Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy? And he said, no. And it's like, that's the thing. If your movie has an uncreative title, that's either just uncreative or has been done before, that's a huge red flag. Like, it might seem like a small thing, but it's a red flag because it shows they're running out a little low in the creativity department.
Oh, my goodness. And, well, look at Bad Company. You have three movies called Bad Company.
There's a lot of... So, if your movie has to have a creative title, and he said it just follows all the exact...
Yeah,
that you think it would, and he said it's just not worth being.
No, don't waste your time. I've seen it. Don't waste your time.
So do you agree that it's just a run through of all the same cliches you've seen?
Every cliche, alien kind of aliens cliche, Event Horizon, all that stuff, and it has I'm getting mad at this cliche, which is, they're on the moon or they're in a haunted house, and they see a ghost, it's a child. Child says something from the past. And what's the kid name? Would be like, I don't know, Melissa. Are you still there, Melissa? That's the kid who died 25 years ago. Now their daughter. Something really ridiculous like that. It's like, does that make any sense? But
just, yes, no, it does. It does. It's kind of like the other cliche he pointed out, which is how every TV show or movie has someone in a 12-step program.
Finally got to that when I saw go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's all. So it's just kind of like, watch anything. And it could be for any addiction, but there's someone sitting in a group meeting and they're saying, hi, my name is whatever, and I'm addicted. That's in every show now.
So I don't recommend Ad Astra because I basically saw it for free. Unless you like space, but it's boring. So see ya. And then... Justice, I'll finish that up, which is... I think it's a lot better than I think. Steven Seagal did something kind of awesome in it. I think it was the second to last episode.
There's a sidekick named Big Sleepy or something.
Oh, William Big Sleeps Stewart.
Oh, but right.
He's not in season two. I think, I don't know what happened to his character. The thing about True Justice, you don't really don't think about the plots. You know, not that they're bad, but and I'm surprised how decent it was. I actually I thought it got more garbagey than I remembered. Like, no, it's not.
Remember? Seen it before?
I've seen when it was on reels. I used to kind of tape it, but then I tapered off.
You taped, but then you tapered.
I tapered, and that's not. I cared, but I didn't care enough, or something like that. But then I finally watched the complete series, and it was really entertaining. So I recommend it to anyone.
How likable is Seagal in the show?
Fairly likable, because it's like, yeah, man, you know, just trying to do my, you know, just trying to do the job, man. And he smiles, he laughs once. He cares about his team. You know, he's not really annoying. He does do some classic, like, excessive beatdowns to people. And in season two, he just shoots people. He's just lazy. It's like, he just shot some dude. It's like, okay. But besides that, he was fairly likable in it.
Now, if you're a Goodwill and you find other 4Ks, so is your mind more open to buying them, kind of like with Astra? Or first of all, are you going to keep Astra in your collection?
I'm going to keep it for now. I also have another 4K, with Gemini Man, which I got for $1. You know, Will Smith again and Clive Owen. I hear it's not very good. But if for $1, I guess I'll check it out. So the thing is, I need a 4K TV. You know, I watch this 4K on a regular TV, which is fine. But it just looks like Blu-ray or Blu-ray.
Well, that's, you know, because, you know, when DVDs came out, we were promised that that was the ultimate format and nothing would ever top it. And which is probably
said about... You wouldn't steal a copy, you wouldn't steal a DVD.
Well, there's that too. That's about bootlegging. That, we're probably also told that about Laserdisc and VHS. So to me, it seems like, just for me personally, I'm pretty sure Blu-ray is my stopping point. I don't see myself going any further than Blu-ray, because we're always made all these same promises. To me, Blu-ray is enough. I mean, I'm not going to demand more than that.
That's what I thought, but I was forced to buy the Hellraiser.
No, I understand.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like, oh, okay, I'll just... Oh, I have to get 4K just for this extra Adam Scott footage. It's like a fine. It's just like,
Well, that's why, you know, my. Yeah, no, I know. But, you know, because certain things on Blu-ray, you know, they're too clear anyway. You know what I mean? I don't need any clearer picture. I don't care about clear picture necessarily. Like, you know what I mean? Because when you, as I've always said, when it comes to movies, no one ever said it had to be perfect. Movies are not a medium of perfection. Like, you just. They're allowed to have scratches and jumps and, you know, I don't need all this other stuff, you know, so that's why, you know, that's why my slogan is, you know, I don't give a 4K, which I'm still working on.
That's pretty good, because it's basically the same words. It's just like, you just put two kind of symbols next to it.
Yeah.
So you put 4..
Yeah, I don't give a 4K. So, you know, I mean, maybe I'll change my mind. I certainly could, but to me, I think Blu-ray is all I need.
Because
you're still watching VHS for God's sakes.
Yeah, I still watch VHS. Still watch live laser disc. To quote Ricochet and Denzel. But it's the I watched The Game with Michael Douglas on laser disc. Something else I watched. First off, it's not good, so don't watch it, people.
Well, you said, I think I'm becoming, what'd you say? I don't like
Michael Douglas. I think he's highly unlikable. He's always a jerk-ass. So let's run down his jerk-ass.
Yeah, run down the jerk-ass roles.
Okay, you got The Game, you got A Perfect Murder, you got Wall Street, you got Disclosure, and you got Basic Instinct, which is a freaking anchor on that movie. Because he's so unlikable, so smarmy, so just, you hate him.
Do you think he was typecast as a smug, smarmy guy?
Yeah, and Perfect Murder was perfect because he was smarmy, and that was kind of fun to watch. But for Basic Instinct, he should have been a bit more likable. Not like, or Black Rain, another great example, another dud from Michael Douglas. So,
did you say Michael Douglas?
Yeah, Michael Douglas. That's what I'm calling him now. Black Rain is such a disappointment.
Because that seems like it could be cool, and they kind of made it seem cool. It's like, oh, he's in Japan. This is awesome. Well, it's
almost cool. They do this back-breaking amount of setup to show how cool he is.
Well, that could be funny, maybe.
It's funny because he's like, oh, I have sunglasses. I'm on a motorcycle. I'm a badass. And then and he's fighting like these Japanese villains. And there's one, they screwed it up. And also, there's nothing about the Star Chamber, another Dunn movie with Michael Douglas. He's littered with duds.
Yeah, yeah.
People think, well, it's a great movie. Yeah, it's a fun movie if he wasn't in it.
Oh, wow. That,
if you just like him, that's all you do is, and you're saying, you know, women should, you know, should smile more.
Right, because that's something women love hearing. Yeah.
Yeah, they love hearing that, right? Oh, you should smile more. If Michael Douglas smiled more, I think people would like him more.
Because that would be like, didn't they do the thing on The Simpsons where like they someone said that on Mr. Burns, and when he somebody smiled, it looked like really bad and creepy, and like I feel like Douglas, wait, who was that?
Was that Mo Sizlak?
Oh yeah, Moe. It was Moe. That's right.
Mo Sizlak.
Like I feel like if Michael Douglas tried to smile, it would come out looking maybe off.
Yeah, it's I don't know. All I'm saying, we all love Basic Instinct, but if you watch it again. Watch how annoyingly smarmy Michael Douglas is in it. And it's like, ugh.
Because in Disclosure, which I watched fairly recently, I don't remember. You still think he's too unlikable? I don't remember.
He's yelling at everyone. He wants to get his like his computer VR program. And he's like yelling. It's like, shut up in a nice way. And just like, I don't know. If he just smiled, that's all he had to do.
And do you think falling down might be falling prey to that as well?
Maybe. I might have to give it one more watch. But that's a quality movie, but I feel like it does. I think it definitely falls off in the middle because you don't really care about Robert Duvall. And who was that, Tuesday Weld?
In that? Well, I haven't seen it for a long time, but from what I remember, it starts off with a slam-bang opening.
Yeah.
But it can't possibly maintain that through 2 hours, so it kind of sags in the middle is my memory.
People used to be named weeks of the, you know, names of the week, you know, it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, what's really named, Thursday, Saturday.
Right. Yeah, like Tuesday, well, then we had Tuesday Night, who was Tuesday in night, Friday the 13th, or not Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street part, remember, but she's in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie and had a recording career. So that's two Tuesdays right there.
Yeah, Till Tuesday. That's what, Till Thursday? Wait, what's the band?
No, it's still Tuesday. No, it's still Tuesday with Amy Mann. Yeah.
Wait, and what's the big song there?
Voices Carry.
Thank you.
Was their big song.
Voices Carry. Because my voice does not carry. I'm just singing that, but it's just like, that's a good song.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Thursday.
Well, not yet.
Well, it's Friday. That's a classic, you know, Rebecca Black.
Yeah. Wait, that was in, I'm trying to think. I think that was in something I watched recently, that song. So unfortunately, I had to hear it. But
No, you know what? Here's something about Friday. We're really going back in time talking about these things, but it's 2024. It's not that bad. You know, it really isn't. It's just silly, you know.
That probably wouldn't even make a dent, in today's social media world. Like if that happened today, I don't think it would become a big thing like it did at that time.
Because it's all we had, you know. What, 2011, maybe 2012.
Like people are thirsty for these viral things. Like, oh, this could be viral. It's like, well, I guess, you know.
Yeah, again, that's why I kind of gave it a pass. Yeah, it doesn't. She's very whiny in the song, but it's not her fault, you know. It's like the lyrics are really funny if you really listen to them, though. It's like chilling in the back seat, sitting in the front seat.
The whole story behind it, I think, was kind of funny. It's like there's something where like there's some company that'll just record anyone. It's like a record. And then so her parents like brought her to it and they recorded this song and then it went viral. So it's not even like she had a recording deal or anything like that. It's just like, it's almost like record your own song type thing. And then it just somehow took off.
And then she had another song. I think it was called Saturday, but she knows, she knows she's a goof. So it's like, so she's pretty self-aware about it. Like right from the jump, I think.
Well, that's it at least.
So Saturday.
When she runs out of dates of the week, then her career is over.
Well, that's the thing. She only has five more songs. So it's like.
So she basically has like an album's worth of material. After this one album, which is every song is named after a day of the week. I don't know if she could. Well, maybe she could do months. Or maybe years.
Yeah, there we go.
if she wants to extend her career, you know, she could have
in the year 2929 or
right. Cool. Zager and Evans. Yeah.
See that, and see, she can go forever.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Maybe she could
be in
so movies.
Popular now? Nothing.
So, I guess I don't really know. Is that Demi Lovato song popular from Scream 6?
I think it's pretty popular. People like Demi Lovato. But okay, so wait, we finished up our Ad Astra talk and our True Justice talk.
Yeah. And what else you got?
Let's see. Oh, okay. I saw a little bit of Best in Show a month or two ago. I was like, this isn't very funny. I'm sorry.
Right, so now we have a controversial opinion coming up that you think these Christopher Guest movies are not funny.
Okay, so here's the thing. When you do like these talk to the camera interview movies or shows, yes, there's The Office and Parks and Recreation, but those parts are just kind of, some parts they say are funny, but most of the show around it is funny. You don't need the interviews.
Well, that all started... I don't know if I agree with that, because if something's funny, it's funny. If something is not, it's not. I don't really care how they do it. So to me, I'm 100% on board with your theory, though.
Oh, okay. That's fine. But see, have you noticed that there's no more of these Christopher Guest movies? He hasn't made one in almost near 20 years. Why is that?
Well, because I didn't even see the last Mighty Wind, because I thought, okay, they're making fun of folk musicians. That's like such an easy target.
They made another one called For Your Consideration.
I never saw that either.
Well, that was a while ago, so
And I saw that when it came out. So I don't follow him, Christopher Guest. I mean, I love Spinal Tap. Come on, you can't say that.
That's a funny movie, but see, that I wonder if that holds up.
Well, I don't know. You'd have to watch it, but so you think? Okay, you did Spinal Tap, and then just kind of rang out the rag. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly.
So it's like, okay, I'll do this again and again, and how about again? It's like, how about something again?
Yeah, dude. I think For Your Consideration and Best in Show, like the rag's rung out, you know. And then I don't know. I watched some of it. It's like, this is not funny. It's just like, you got Eugene Levy. It's like, I'll get to him in a second. It's just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not into it. Because remember when Eugene Levy was in all these movies in the early 2000s? Remember Bring Down the House at Steve Martin?
Yes.
So Steve Martin, I guess he pretends to be a homie in the movie. Like, hey man, he wears like a backwards hat, and like he has like a basketball jersey on.
I'm sure that's not embarrassing.
I mean, when that was coming out, I thought that was embarrassing. Like, this is the epitome of comedy in 2003. I mean,
yeah, we already had Malibu's Most Wanted, so now Steve Martin, the same thing as Jamie Kennedy.
So Steve Martin's ripping off Jamie Kennedy? This is a problem.
And don't forget about Bullworth.
Well, that's true. So Jamie Kennedy and Steve Martin ripped off Bullworth, you know.
Right. Warren Beatty came first with being homie-tized.
Yeah. Let's not forget that he's in the video of Ghetto Superstar, Warren Beatty. He really went head first into doing being a homie.
Yeah, you can't say that about Jamie Kennedy or Steve Martin.
No, it'd be funny if Steve Martin did that now. It's like,
homies in the building.
Oh yeah, that's funny. Only homies in the building. Yeah, Jamie Kennedy, Steve Martin, and Warren Beatty.
And there's a murder, and Demi Lovato has teamed up with them and has to.
Yeah, forget Selena Gomez. Now Demi Lovato.
Right, Selena Gomez. Yeah. Well, I guess she's on my mind because of the song.
Yeah. So, and I was looking into Bring Down the House, and then I was looking into Eugene Levy, and it's like, so I went to his career, and it's like, oh. He's an American Pie, which I would have never seen.
I've never seen it either.
I don't care, but he's in all the straight-to-video sequels as a different character.
Oh. But I think after American Pie, his career really... He almost became like Leslie Nielsen, where it's like he played that same kind of character over and over.
You know, like this nebbish nerd guy. And then I think the nadir. Like, people love that Eugene Levy comedy. he's in a movie called The Man. And if people ever remember this,
it's just like Life. Remember, like, with these uncreative titles.
Look how boring that was. The Man. So we got Sam Jack. And he's like a cop. He's like a tough cop. Man. And then Eugene Levy is a nebbish nerd accountant guy. And I never seen it, but I think Luke Goss is the villain.
Oh. So
almost got me interested, but I don't really care about Eugene Levy movies, I guess. Maybe I hate him. I don't know.
So this is like Michael Douglas. We have to examine your feelings and thoughts about certain people.
I'm willing to. I don't know. I don't know yet. I have not. Let me see if it's like free, and see what happens. See if Eugene Levy kills Luke Goss or something. Yep. Now that
would that make all the difference for you? Then you'd watch the movie.
It would. I might look up spoilers, and which is a good. I don't know. Maybe it's just these comedies aren't for me. See, comedy is subjective. See, I like The Naked Gun. You know, it's like.
Yes. Well, of course, everyone does. They're the best. You know, those are those are the last time the movie was like really funny.
Let's laugh. You know, but see, everyone's very offended about every little thing nowadays. So that's just what our country is right now.
Right. So we need something like that. That will just do something funny, regardless. Like, offensive, not offensive, doesn't matter. Just be funny. You know, is that asking so much?
See, that's the thing, you know. I just had a point I was about to make about that. Oh, yeah, I guess they're remaking The Naked Gun. Did you hear about this?
No. Who's going to play Frank Drebin?
Liam Neeson.
What? No. This is one of those fake news things, right?
Oh, okay, maybe. I guess I thought it was real. Maybe it's fake. You know, wow. April Fool's just comes up.
And that seems so implausible.
I mean, I almost get it because, you know, you got your Liam Neeson. It's not even, this is not even like a Springboard Duty impression. It's just like, that was the hot Liam Neeson news. It's just like.
But since we're here, you might as well do it.
Well, I'm a commuter. I just watched Run All Night last week, which I did. Because Common, the rapper, he's in Run All Night, he's the villain. Did I tell you this already?
I think you said it was okay.
It's like, I think it was better than I remembered. So I went up like another half star, you know, than I remembered.
But you think Liam doesn't really do comedy so much. So maybe this would be good for him. You know, he'll be breaking out of his I'm on a mode of transportation group of movies he's been doing.
Get him out of the cars, get him out of the trains, you know, get him out of the airplanes.
Yeah, you know? And have him be Frank Drebin. I mean, that could be interesting. I mean, it's not a casting choice I would have thought of, but hey, that's why I'm not one of these high-powered cigar-chomping guys who love space baboons. I'm just a regular guy talking on a podcast. Not yet. That is my dream.
See, that's the thing. You know, look at Liam Neeson of all these cars and planes, trains, and automobiles, you know.
Speaking of Steve Martin.
And Steve Martin, which I think that's a funny movie.
Yes, that is also my memory. It's an enjoyable movie, yes.
It's enjoyable. You laugh, but it's a comedy. It's objective. So what people think is funny is different, you know. I don't know. I think for comedy to work in movies back then, you need to have like a well-written joke.
Well, I was just thinking that because, you know, slapstick, you know, someone falls down. It's lazy. And it's in every commercial and trailer where, like, you know, Queen Latifah will be like hit in the face on a ski slope or something. I guess.
Yeah, it was looking up last holiday.
See, the problem is it's hard to write something clever and witty and funny. That's why most people can't do it, and they don't do it. So it was because it's difficult. Most people can't do it. It's not anyone's fault. It's just a hard thing to do. So they have to resort to the sort of lowbrow, not funny stuff. And or they'll just make something that's not funny, like one of these Christopher Guest things, where it's just kind of almost like a drama at times. But then, it spawned all these other things like The Office, Reno 911, and all this.
I never liked Reno 911. That's just me. I know that's another controversial opinion, but you know, Office is funny, Parks and Rec is funny, The Good Place, that's a quality program. You know, if you haven't seen that,
I haven't seen any of those except The Office.
They're funny, you know. You care about some of the characters, and then our buddy Adam Scott is hanging around.
Oh, Adam Scott,
star of Hellraiser, Bloodline. But that's
well, if you ever meet him, you'll have to say, you know, that's doesn't he say like, oh, that's my best work? Like he's kind of self.
He kind of says that. Yeah, I've said that before in the podcast. Yeah, he knows that's a silly movie, and you he was making fun of Torque. He's in Torque, which I watched last year of our friend Dave. And, you know, I'm willing to rewatch it. It was really ridiculous.
Well, you said I should watch it.
You should watch it. There's a part that's so... I think it's supposed to be a parody of Fast and the Furious, smushed with, like, a real Fast and the Furious kind of movie. So it's like two movies in one. They don't fit.
Well, that sounds good.
And
Ice Cube.
Jamie Presley. Okay. He plays someone named China in it. That's amazing.
Speaking of Jamie... Oh, sorry. I'll let you finish what you're saying about
Dark, yeah, and also, yeah, and Adam Scott, and also Dane Cook, briefly, and...
I thought you wanted me to watch it. Now
no, but he's not related that much. The guy from The Transporter, the villain, I can't remember, head. The guy who played Wall Street in Transporter. Matt Schultz.
Oh, yeah, I never would have remembered that.
I can't remember, I'm not looking it up, I remember his name. I remember he's in Out of Reach with Steven Seagal.
But, it all comes back to Steven Seagal. I guess that's really? The theme, as it should be on this podcast. But you know,
yes. Go ahead with your thing.
Okay, I might have forgotten what I was going to say.
You were talking about. You say you want me to talk more about Torque, and then you were about to say something.
Oh, yes. Because when you said Jamie Presley, it reminded me of Taryn Manning, which reminds me we were going to talk about that movie that you watched.
Oh yes, Sanctioning Evil. Yes.
Right. Just watch because of the title. You like the title Sanctioning Evil.
Cool title, right? Sanctioning Evil. You know, it's like. So in this movie, a former soldier gets disbarred for like shooting like some like soldiers or whatever.
As a lawyer?
No, soldier.
Oh, okay. He said disbarred.
I think it's our lawyer. Discharged.
Oh, okay.
And then he gets recruited by like his like government friend to sanction evil and shoot like targets and stuff. And Taryn Manning's kind of hanging around in it. But here's the problem with the movie. It meanders like nobody's business, man. You don't care. It's slow. It doesn't move at all. It moves at a very snail's pace. But there's one great bit of exposition towards the end where this like this evil government lady says, so you think you can sanction evil all this time, can you, huh?
Oh, she actually says it. She says
sanction evil. And then she says, you work for me now. It's like no, I don't. No, but no, he does. So it's just like, because he knows he has to keep sanctioning evil to kind of stay afloat in life. So that's kind of an interesting idea, but it's boring. I would skip it, really. So also I would skip Damsel.
Right, Damsel. So is she in distress? Because that's what I associate the word damsel with.
So people have probably heard of this one, which is, it's new, it's on Netflix now. Millie Bobby Brown plays like a princess, and she gets married, but then she gets thrown into this dragon pit by their evil family. And then she just fights a dragon, and you know, that's about it. It's the most mediocre thing you've ever seen.
Well, it's like typical Netflix, as I might have said before. You know, Netflix, they don't really take chances with their movies, like, but their movies aren't bad. So it's like their movies aren't really bad, but they're not great. They're just kind of straight down the middle, mediocre type things.
My goodness, they put it through the mediocre machine. You know,
you said Dragon's Talk, which is a blatant knockoff of Dragonheart. Right?
Yes, the Dragon's Talk in the movie, which I did not expect. I don't know. See, the thing is, I call it a phone movie, which, you know, you scroll on your phone, you know, either like a teenage girl or whatever, but then you look up on the screen, like, oh, yeah, dragon. Then you just put your phone, then you're back to your phone.
Well, that's Netflix for you. But
like, they just make perfect phone movies, really, right now.
Like, I think, one's favorite movie is a Netflix movie. Like, some movie that's so awesome that's like, this is my favorite movie. Netflix has not done that to date.
I've seen a fair amount of Netflix movies.
I'm sure you have.
You know, Netflix originals, you know, there's...
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, Netflix originals.
Well, I mean, the closest one I thought was pretty entertaining was Six Underground with Ryan Reynolds, directed by Michael Bay. Oh, if I had to recommend one Netflix movie original, I would recommend that one.
And then Reptile was pretty good.
Oh, Reptile wasn't bad, but it's still not going to be like, Reptile, my favorite movie.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not that good, but it's well done. No. I mean,
it's well done.
Yeah, it's better than your average Netflix movie.
Like exactly. You know, people talk about Roma. That was a movie that was on Netflix people liked.
Well, it seems like a snooze fest.
Oh, you know, it look for the, well. I don't care that it's black and white, but it's black and white. It's like 400 hours long.
It's Oscar bait.
Oh my goodness, it just looks lame to me. And I think there's like this. I looked it up, and it's like no. Like, I'm not that bored, you know. But Damsel, I give it 2 stars. Have you watched anything else? I keep feeling like I'm hogging the pot.
No, but you've watched a lot more than I do. I mean, like you said, I watched Scream 6. We watched China Salesman.
Okay, so anything from you?
I don't know if I watch anything like really action related. So which I try to stick to for this sort of podcast. But what else? I feel like I was going to ask you something about. Oh yeah, so didn't Dragonheart have a bunch of DTV sequels?
Yes, I think one. I think it's Dragonheart 3 and the dragon's voiced by Ben Kingsley. So it sounds very classy, you know.
But he was also hitting the skids when he was doing Blood Rain and other DTV movies.
So I looked into that. It's like, why would Ben Kingsley? Kind of looked into it, and he's like, "Well, I always wanted to play a vampire." Like. Nice excuse. He's probably had a couple of days off. You know.
Fred, you wanted to go to like Bucharest, and he thought, okay, who's this Uwe Boll guy? Yeah, whatever.
I'm Kagan the Vampire, which I think that was his name. Without looking that up, I remember that.
Wow.
But here's the thing. I hear that Ben King, you know, also Michael Madsen is in Blood Rain. Mm-hmm. I hear Ben Kingsley hates Michael Madsen.
Oh, really? Because I was going to say another possible excuse for why he wanted to. I guess, or why he had to work on Blood Rain. It's like, yeah, I really wanted to work with Michael Madsen. Like,
no, he hates him because of Species. I think Michael Madsen like pranked him on set or something. So basically, hates Michael Madsen.
You're so uncouth, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was Gandhi, sir. He's like, oh, I don't care. You're Gandhi. Who cares about Gandhi? It's probably what he said. I love to see that conversation.
Talk about two different, like, completely different personalities and acting styles and, you know, histories. Yeah. You know, it's
one's like a fancy smancy pants actor, and one is Ben Kingsley. No, I'm kidding, but it's like,
you pulled a classic Craig Ferguson on that one.
Yeah, no, but it'd be fun. I like to see the table read for Species. You know, it's like, oh, Natasha, and Ben is like, I'm the scientist in charge. You know.
Like, Michael, you're not taking this material seriously. Oh, yeah, I gotta go.
I play Presletics. I'll see you on set.
And he just leaves.
That's what I beg. Because
he has like a beer can, I'm picturing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he has a beer can. He's just drinking a beer while doing the table read and leaving.
It's like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Like, Michael, it's 10 o'clock. I don't know. I'm thirsty.
It's like Lennox, got it. I totally got it. And then, you know, I don't need to be here.
It's like Ben Kingsley's like drinking like a nice kind of like fancy drink or like a Shirley.
Got to be like I'm thinking it's got to be some brand of bottled water that's like 10 steps above Evian or
I get it from the from the sky. You know, it's like this sky water. I'm Ben Kingsley. I don't care. I drink a beer.
Like, were you in Jason Ghost? No, well, I was. I worked with Corey Large. Who do you work with? It's like, well, I've worked with like Oscar-winning people. It's like, whatever.
I worked with Jeremy Irons and all these people called Betrayed. I worked with Corey Large. Who's that? You'll know him soon. You're doing direct-to-video too.
That's true. That could be one of those speeches that you see in movies all the time that you like. And I like two of these. It's not a monologue exactly, but it's like, you're going to be where I am someday.
Yeah. You think you're all cool and young now, Ben Kingsley, but you'll be where I am soon.
And then, lo and behold, they were in Blood Rain together. So,
But if you watch it, though, they're supposed to be in the same scene, and you can tell they're not in the same scene. See, that's why I heard about this feud. So it's like,
I do love that Michael Madsen and Ben Kingsley have a feud.
It's online.
Are there any other funny feuds like that?
Just that one. It's like, it's the only feud ever in Hollywood.
Well, yeah, maybe Ryan Murphy will make a series about it.
Oh, yeah. Feud season. I guess the season 2 is on now. It was about what's his name? I don't the guy I his annoying voice. Kill Mockingbird in Cold Blood, I mean.
Oh, Truman Capote. Oh, that's that. Okay, I knew that was out there. I didn't know that was part of that.
It's Truman Capote and like his like 15 wives or something. And, like he had wives. But also, but Treat Williams is hanging around on it. You're trying to trick me. The late, great Treat Williams. I'm not going to watch it because I can't stand the Capote voice. I'm sorry.
Well, you haven't heard our friend Anthony do a spot on.
I'll ask again. I think he did it once or maybe in Half Mood do it. Oh, next time we see him, I'll ask immediately. Do your Truman Capote.
But yeah, I mean, if you would ever get to season 3, how about Madsen and Kingsley?
Yeah, Madsen versus Kingsley. You can get Michael Madsen to be in it.
Yeah, they can both play themselves. That's something new.
That's true. They're always people who are passed away.
Right, they're both still alive, and they could reenact it just, you know, in certain ways. You know, because we could see Mike's side of the story, we could see Ben's side of the story. You know,
this is my side of the story. I was just drinking beer. Some species 30 years ago. But it was funny, I was, you know, cleaning out my collection a little bit to find stuff, and I found Species 2, which is one of the greatest.
Oh, I was going to say, Species 2 is one of the best movies of its time.
I mean, I feel like I just watched it.
I know, you don't need to watch it again. But did you watch the extras? There's like some bonus scenes, I think.
I only have that DVD I lent you. I think I did watch those scenes. What a weird movie. People really need, we're lucky you have Species 2.
It's yes, like, we are. Richard Bell's our president. He's in it for 2 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm the president. He's like on a TV screen that kind of pans really fast from it.
Yes. There's all sorts of weird things about that movie. It's really good. It's better than the first. I haven't seen the other ones, but I think it's better.
It is better than part one because there's just something wrong with this movie.
Right, that's the type of movie I like. That's like my favorite type of movie, really. Movies where something's wrong.
And I think before I recommend to you, I think, wait, there's something wrong with Species 2. It's like, you got to watch this.
So that's why I watched it and loved it. It's great.
And Species 3, which is just okay, has your new friend, Robin Dunn, right?
Oh, Robin Dunn. Well, I have seen probably more Robin Dunn than anyone in the world outside you.
Yeah. So anyway, you just watched the Robin Dunn. You watched Skulls 2, right?
Yeah, and he was really good in it. Like, he put in a really good performance. And
it's like, you know, when you can't afford Joshua Jackson.
Right, you go to the next best thing, I suppose. But he was also in the Cruel Intentions sequels. I think he was in parts 2 and 3, I think. The Skulls, it's supposed to take place on our home turf of New Haven. Unfortunately, they didn't shoot it in New Haven, which would have been cool. But, you know, as I said to you before, they're kind of on the upper end of the DTV scale. Like, they're DTV, but, you know, they're trying to make them a little bit better, a little classier.
Because that's so interesting about the DTVs of the early 2000s. It's just like, we can make a Skulls 2?
I mean, like, people don't forget about
one, right?
Yeah.
And then, but now they don't really make these straight to video sequels anymore. I can't believe that. Like, what's the last time we had a straight to video sequel?
Oh, of like a big Hollywood movie? Yeah.
What would that be? Oh, I mean, I'm not counting The Asylum. That doesn't count.
But right, because you're Top Gunner. Do you want to talk about Top Gunner? Is that what this is all about?
Well, no, I didn't even think of that. You know, I did enjoy Top Gunner 1. Which has Eric Roberts, and Top Gunner 3, technically, called Top Gunner America versus Russia, where he plays the president, Eric Roberts. He was pretty good. The movies were pretty good. It may have caught me in a good mood, but it was good.
But yeah, so, you know, they couldn't really get too many names, you know, for the Skull sequels. But, you know, they got Robin Dunn, and then in the third one, you get Boswick.
Yeah, you get Barry Boswick. I mean, like,
kind of so, I mean, that's something, but
like, what has been out, like, a normal movie, right, in the past, let's say, a couple of years? So, and it's hard to think, you know, let's just say
they don't release movies that aren't superhero movies, really.
That's true, yeah. Well, okay, let's pretend the Beekeeper came out like 5 years ago, right?
Right, and then they could do a DTV sequel, and would it have Statham, or would it get someone else?
They get Luke Goss. Or a name that's just enough to, like, let's say, like a Lou Diamond Phillips, We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. They used to do that. You know, they try to, once again, wring out the rag a little bit more. Yeah. It's like, okay, there's some interest. Okay, let's do a DT. Let's do another DTV sequel.
Yeah, let's do another one. Wild Things 4, Cruel Tensions 3. I mean, it's like.
I've seen them all. Thanks to you. You own them.
I own them all. Yeah, I own all.
If you didn't own them, I never would have seen all the Wild Things and Cruel Intentions and Skull sequels. But now I have. So, you know.
Are you happy? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy.
But yeah, see, let's go back to that. You know, what's that movie? I think it came out this year, last year, The Pope's Exorcist. You know, it's Russell Crowe.
Right, yes.
He helps with exorcists, and he drives a Vespa or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. That's like, I think people make fun of that because, you know, Russell Crowe's looking a little, let's say, heavy lately. So he's like a heavy set man driving a Vespa, and he has a beard.
Which is what they should have called the movie.
Heavy set man driving a Vespa.
Yeah, heavy set Vespa man. That's probably what it's called in like other countries. That's probably what it's called in like China or Japan.
Yeah. So they can make Pope Exorcist 2, and they get like who would be like the lesser Russell Crowe?
Oh, but my gosh. Like, I don't know.
Oh, you can get like, I don't know, maybe, you know, Guy Pearce has been hitting this kid lately.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so he really has. He made some garbagey movie called I think it's like some like defending the law or something like that, or obeying the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. It's like, why? I thought you were a classy actor, sir. But you know, everyone needs to.
That doesn't mean anything anymore. I mean, look at
the same
Ben Kingsley and the rest. It's just, you know, everyone's doing DTV. I mean, everyone. You know,
if Guy Pearce is not immune.
No, he's not immune. Owen's immune.
What?
No, no one's immune. But I think Pope's Exorcist is a good example because I can see a lot of these DTV Exorcist type sequels from that. Like, from what I've heard, I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's just okay. Another one of these movies is just okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a movie you watch when you're really bored. I mean, maybe I'm just a little tired of Exorcist movies, and I sound like a bit complaining today, but I mean, I'm Exorcist out, you know.
Oh, I understand that, sure.
You know, I'll watch Exorcist 3, you know. But I also will support The Last Exorcism. You ever seen that? We've heard of it, maybe.
I've definitely heard of it. Do you own it?
No, I should, because it's, you know, it's one of these found footage things, but it's done pretty well. It has some scary moments in it for sure. And it has a good ending. I thought it has a good quality scary ending.
No, I don't think I've ever seen that, but I definitely would. That's the type of movie I would see.
There's a Last Exorcist 2. I was like, wait a second.
wait a minute. Like Never Ending Story Part 2.
Yeah, or what's the other one? Oh, it's The Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghost of Georgia.
Yes. Right. Well, I did see Haunting in Connecticut. Yes.
That is barely an exorcist or haunting movie, I think. It's more about, you know, family strife drama.
Well, I guess they can't fill 2 hours with nothing but exorcisms. I mean, there's got to be something else going on.
That's pretty cool, though. You know, you have a movie with the word Connecticut in the title. You know, it's like,
yeah, I got to see that.
There's not many Connecticut. Well, there's Christmas in Connecticut, isn't that?
Directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's probably his best directing work. He never did anything else, right?
Like, I don't know. But it's funny. There's Christmas in Connecticut.
That's funny. I've had many Christmases in Connecticut, in my country of Austria.
Right, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I will terminate the Gray Davis, you know. It's like, you're going to kill Gray Davis?
I meant the ballot box.
And like, this is a total recall. He got really lucky on some of his titles. I mean, like, that's how he won. Gray Davis is a predator.
Oh.
And he will be erased from this total recall ballot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, Gary Coleman was so close to being the governor of California.
He's this close. I mean, wouldn't it be great if he was the governor? Like, not even just kidding. It would be fun. Yeah, just fun. It'd be kind of interesting to see his policies.
Because remember, Gary Coleman was in the running?
He was. See, that's, I know he's gone, RIP Gary Coleman. But would it be interesting to see him like in a kind of a serious kind of role? Like he was never treated seriously because of his.
Well, I think that's what they did in that movie that they're trying their best to bury, where he was like an arsonist. Remember that?
The boy who has like.
Who played with like, fire or something like that?
Like a normal fire starter, but it's just Gary Coleman.
Well, he doesn't have powers, I don't think. Right. I think he like sets fires, and he, like, if you, there's like a TV Guide ad for it, and he looks really serious, and he's holding a match.
Yes, I would love to watch that. I felt bad for him all his life because he had that, I'll just call it looking young disease, I guess. Uh-huh. Which people want that today, getting all their Botox.
Now they're complaining about it. Now they want it.
Yeah, they got their Botox. They got their Ozempic or whatever.
Right.
That's by the way. So it's like, but now, people always laughed at him, give Gary Coleman his due. And then he died a terrible death. Like a bookcase fell on his head. It's like, this is not good.
No, that is a problem. But who's that other woman who ran for governor of California?
Mary Carey?
Yes, Mary Carey, yes. But she could have been a good governor, too.
Let's have another recall. But not California. Someplace else.
Yeah, but the problem is, all these nut bar celebrities live in California. So if they're going to live... So, it wouldn't work anywhere else, I don't think.
Well, let's see.
Unless it's still celebrity lived in another state, which they do. So I guess it's possible.
Okay, let's make a recall election and we'll end the pot.
Okay.
Like, all right, so who would be, let's say they're recalling it now, Gavin Newsom, or people call him Gavin Gruesome, that's all I'm saying.
So they try to kick out Gruesome, and then let's see
who would get some hot celebrities to replace them,
But see, we don't have these wacky celebrities anymore, like Vince Offer and people like that.
Oh, that's Who are the wack? Oh, how about Matthew Lesko?
Okay, but I don't know if he lives in California. I don't know where. I can't say I know where he lives, but I always associate him with Washington D.C. for some reason.
But you get like these kind of wacky people. So you get Matthew Lesko. You get maybe Miss Cleo.
Okay.
Who else would be in the running for the total recall election? Like just these kind of wacky or kind of quasi celebrities like that.
Colty.
Okay. Yes, Colty from 90 Day Fiance.
Because a lot of in their 2000s, there were a lot of these kind of like reality stars, and they're really stupid.
Yeah. Oh, Spidey.
And that's a good one. Yeah. That saves time because you could have the governor and the vice governor.
I guess Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag, if people know who we're talking about. And then maybe that's like their biggest maybe Stephen Baldwin.
Do they need some sort of an actual name? You can have all the Mary Careys and Gary Colemans you want, but you also have to have a Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it's like a Schwarzenegger. But then you get like Stephen Baldwin, or maybe I don't know, you get
but you have to have a Mary Carey type. Like how about Jenna Jameson or something?
Yeah, you get Jenna Jameson or some other wacky kind of adult film star.
You have to have at least one adult film person. Yeah. You have to.
You kind of have to, because you kind of roll your eyes like, all right, okay, what Stormy Daniels has to say, Mary Carey?
Oh, Stormy, that's a good one, because she has some political connections.
She does to Mr. Trumpy. So it's just like...
Yeah, so Stormy, so the best we've got, I think, is Stormy, Stephen Baldwin, and Spidey. I think those to me are the top three / top four. Yeah,
so who would win? Who would win?
I think Baldwin would probably win because
he would win?
Only because he has the best, most recognized name. Because in politics, that's all it is. That's why it's Bush 5 million times, all these Clintons. You have to have a name, people, the name recognition.
Oh, Stephen Baldwin, yeah.
Yes, that's what it would be. Oh, Baldwin, yeah.
I know Stephen Baldwin, Stephen Baldwin, I have a foot vote for that guy. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
California, so that could easily happen, easily.
So that would be our recall for 2024, it's like...
And on that bombshell, maybe we should...
Is there anything else you want to mention? We have an idea for the next episode.
Oh, okay, you want to tease the next episode? Okay.
Which would be, top Roy Scheider movies, The Joy of Roy.
Yeah. So we haven't done one of these in a while. So hopefully you'll want to hear what we have to say about our top Roy Scheider movies.
Joy of Roy or Oy of Roy? We'll see.
If you like it, it's one. If you don't like
it, you don't like it, you go Oy. We all know what movie I'm going to mention.
It might involve a certain fight scene with Gary Busey.
Well, no, he didn't fight Gary Busey. He fought Lorenzo Lamas.
But Jack Busey is in that movie.
He's in it, The Rage. But just like,
we're going too far, and like, we have to save some of this for the episode.
No, but I got some other Roys we can talk about for sure.
Okay. So, these would be DTV Roys, really, not like the good Roys.
Wait,
what people say are the good.
Oh, well, like, I'm not good. And I was thinking the poor Roys, really. I was thinking the kind of the weirder Roy movies.
So, that's what we're right. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bring out those weirder things out into the light.
Yeah, if we were like a standard podcast, we'd go, well, the French Connection's pretty good, and the 7-Up's pretty good.
It's a great podcast impression.
Last Embrace, that's a good one for Roy Sorcerer. But see, now you do like a wacky podcast like this. He's like, well, you got The Rage, Dracula 3 Legacy.
Red Serpent.
Right. Oh, Red Serpent, White Raven, or Ron Silver, you talk about those. Who talks about those movies?
Well, there might have been some Roy spoilers of things.
But no, those might not be in there. I'm just saying those are examples.
All right, well, that's...
Talk about the plugs. You do the plugs this time.
Well, I just thank you for doing this hangout with us. I mean, I know it's just...
hopefully people enjoyed it.
Yeah. But that's what podcasts are, I suppose. I want to thank everyone for going on this journey with us, not just on this episode, but all the other ones.
We have over 100 now.
So thank you for listening, and thanks to the Comeuppance Warriors, each and every one. I would do the plugs, except that you do all that social media stuff. I appreciate the opportunity, but I'm going to throw it back to you.
Okay. We got comeuppancereviews.net. Which is the website.
Yeah.
Then you got Comeuppance Reviews, the podcast, which is on every podcatcher. Now, Stitcher's gone, I heard.
Oh, maybe that's why they didn't allow us on Stitcher. Maybe they were closing their doors.
Maybe it's there ain't no Stitcher.
No more.
And then Taction Rock is on Instagram. That's where I post my VHS tapes. And then the quote Roy Shannon in the episode, see ya, sport.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well... that's true. Now with the death of Stitcher, we can say, because we used to allude that there's one we're not on. We're on most of the podcatchers. Actually, now we can actually say we are on, well, I don't know about all, but
on Spotify. I know that for sure. On Spotify and, of course, iTunes.
I believe we're also on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. I'm pretty sure.
We're still on TuneIn. That's great. We're not on Kazaa or Napster.
Unless people are bootlegging this free show, that would be
That'd be interesting if people bootleg this program. But boot away,
Boot away. We don't make any money on this anyway. So go for it.
Yeah, we do it for the fun.
It costs us money to do it. So,
That is true. But we won't say how much.
We won't say. It's not that much.
It's maybe like a thinker. It's like we should let people go.
Yeah, I think they've listened to us ramble long enough. Yeah. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be back with some Roy. So stay tuned for that, and thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Sometimes you get a space baboon, sometimes you don't.
What?